Crazy conditions, red flags, safety cars, an unlikely duo on the podium, and a champion's drive that may well define the title race. Super Sunday in Sao Paulo was spectacular.
In the Brazilian rain, the Dutchman has delivered a defining drive. The world champion strikes back. Max Verstappen wins the Sao Paulo Grand Prix. 17th on the grid to the win.
Ah, yes! What an unbelievable race, guys. You know what that is? Simply lovely. I tell you that.
Welcome everyone to the Interlagos paddock for F1 Nation's review of a very chaotic Sao Paulo Grand Prix weekend. I'm Tom Clarkson, and joining me here in Brazil is F1 TV commentator Alex Jakes and Brazilian former F1 driver Ricardo Rosset. Guys, it's brilliant to have you both with us. Jakes, if I can start with you, how do you begin to sum up what we've just been through over the last, 48 hours?
In a way that's kind of sleepy, exhausted, delirious, but classic Formula One at Sao Paulo. You felt that when we got the Super Sunday format that we were going to get a defining day. In the morning, looked like the point swing was heading to Lando. By the end of the afternoon, defining drive for Max Verstappen. And it feels worthy of some of the defining championship moments that we've had around this circuit.
Ricardo, I haven't seen a better win from Max Verstappen of his 62. What did you make of it?
I think it was just a masterclass drive. I spoke with Jos just before the race and also with Christian, and they were like a little bit down and saying maybe we have a chance. But I mean, what a drive and what a strategy. I think both Alpine and Red Bull, they saw the chance of not changing that tire, and that made all the difference. And brilliant drive for all the podium, the three drivers that didn't put a wheel off.
Well, Max was sublime. He extends his lead over Lando Norris from 47 points to 62 points in the driver's standings. And here's what he had to say about his masterclass in the rain.
My emotions today have been from almost trying to destroy the garage to, winning the race. I mean, starting P17, I knew that we could have a good race, but in qualifying, I think it was quite clear that there was only one line that you could take. So I knew that overtaking was going to be quite tough. But yeah, in the race, I mean, we had a good start. And from there on, we just picked a few drivers here and there. And then I got a little bit stuck behind the train of Yuki, I think. And then we just stayed calm. It was still a very long race, naturally. And we made the right calls when, some pitted, the rain was coming. We stayed out, which was very sketchy. And then I saw Esteban in front of me flying, like he was 4 seconds a lap faster. I was like, I'm just happy to keep the car on the track.
Max, you did 5 fastest laps in a row, 17 fastest laps in total. At what point did you think, I can win this?
When I got past Esteban in turn one. I mean, before that, the pace was there. I was just trying to build it up slowly because in after the red flag, the restart, Esteban was very fast. And then just when the safety car actually came out, I was starting to catch him a bit. But then the tires were again very cold. And then, the restart, I got by. And from there onwards, I just tried to look after the tires because you never know what was going to happen to the end. The wear is always very high around here. But I felt good. The car was having a nice balance. It just had to be, concentrated to and to not make any mistakes because the surface was still slippery.
No doubt it was a brilliant victory. Just looking at the bigger picture now, you've extended your lead over Lando Norris in the World Championship to 62 points with just 3 races and 1 sprint to go. Do you feel this is a pivotal moment?
I mean, this was now, of course, looking at it, it was incredibly important because in a way I was expecting to lose points today. So from now, I just want clean races to the end. I'm not thinking about clinching the championship in Vegas or whatever. I just want clean races.
Right, let's try and break this down now. As you can tell from that, Max was very happy in the post-race press conference. From P17, at what point in the commentary box did you think the win was on, Alex?
To be honest, very early on. He was going through drivers. He wasn't racing drivers, he was going through drivers. It was reminiscent of what we saw from Lewis Hamilton here in 2021. The fact that when he got to Oscar, there was no defence offered up. At that point, you go, well, if you can go past a McLaren with ease, everyone else is in trouble. And then it's a case of, does the opportunity present itself? And it did. But that was on the cards from the moment. He left the line. The launch was fantastic. Darting between the cars. Wet line. Completely brave around the outside of three. Total courage of his convictions to plant the throttle on the first lap. He never looked back. It was on the cards very early.
Do you agree, Ricardo? I mean, yeah. He was up to P10, I think, by turn one of lap two.
Yeah, I agree totally. I was watching it and I was with my wife and my son. And I said, definitely he's on a podium early on the race, because all of that, he was so comfortable in the car and driving like was dry and going through all of the drivers with, they were sliding, they were finding lines and he was just going through. And it looked like he was going to go all the way. But a win was hard because Russell and Lando, they were quite fast, but not changing that tire, I think, made all the difference.
You might be able to hear in the background, that's either Red Bull or Alpine cheering in the pit lane. There have been some very happy faces here today. But you talk about Max being very comfortable in the car. He was also very fired up. He said in that press conference, you know, that he wanted to break up the garage, I think, after qualifying. How much does being fired up influence how a driver performs?
It's amazing how you see the difference between the drivers, that he was not like on a defensive drive, he was on a very aggressive drive, comparing to the other drivers that were taking care because they didn't want to crash. There was a lot of crash, a lot of spins, and some drivers, you could see they were taking a little bit of careful not to make a mistake, but Max was on it all the time since the start, and I think he was so pissed off for the qualifying, and I think he wanted to make a point to beat in a good way and show that he's the champion.
And he also said, I want it to stay clean for the rest of the year now.
Easier when the points gap has grown to 62. I thought at the start of the day, we're either going to get the Max who has a crash into the side of someone and he's going to be in a huge dollop of trouble. The momentum will totally have swung towards Lando Norris, or we're going to get something special. It felt like there was going to be no in between. I spoke to someone before the race and they said, he's just the right amount of angry. So there you go. Motivation, wants to keep it clean now, but this triple header has provided us with key moments, flashpoints, wheel to wheel. But there's a moment in every season where you knew there was going to be a defining day. We knew before the five red lights went out, it was going to be today, the way that the grid was. And somehow he's flipped that on its head and he's got one hand on the championship trophy.
It's an interesting point, isn't it? How after the Mexican Grand Prix last weekend, he came in for a lot of stick, Max did, for you know, the 20-second penalty he had and the way he was racing Lando. Are you going to do anything different this weekend? No, I'm not. I've been in the sport for 10 years. I know what I'm doing. It's very Kimi Raikkonen-esque. Actually, talking of Kimi Raikkonen, his victory today reminded me of Suzuka 2005.
Five.
When Kimi went from, I think, P17, actually, to take the win on the last lap. But, you know, he had the world on his shoulders, giving him a bit of jip, and this was his response.
Yeah, I agree. I think now with experience, he's realizing that he doesn't need to race the way he raced with Lando. He can do much better. When he's fired up, he can do magic. I mean, he's the way he drove today reminds me Senna. I mean, in the wet in Brazil, it's like a Senna drive. Also Schumacher in Barcelona. It's one of those days that those guys exceed everyone else. Yeah.
Now, there's no doubt that Max Verstappen and Red Bull, it has to be said, were brilliant in that race. They made all the right calls at the right time. So how did Lando Norris go from winning the sprint race to finishing this Grand Prix in P6?
Crucial moment when they made the call to bring the cars in. I felt that it was so wet at that moment. And I'm not saying this with the benefit of hindsight. We said this in real time on the commentary. You've got to survive those moments. because the moment that it starts hammering down, the chance of a red flag is enormous. And if you get the red flag, you get the free pit stop. If you get the free pit stop, like we saw in Monaco earlier this year, the strategic variance goes, and you've got to do so much work in a modern Formula One car to pass without DRS, even around here. So the moment that that flicked around, he had so much to do, trying to overcompensate on the safety car restarts, going off the road a couple of times, turn one, turn four, and then ultimately, these are human beings racing these cars. He can feel it slipping away. They just weren't fast enough when it mattered today.
So he lacked straight line speed. That's one thing he said. But why did they pit?
It's easy to say it when it goes against you. If you don't come in and change from those worn intermediates to a new set of intermediates and you spin off the road at turn three, you look like a chump. But that's also a skill set to survive until the point that you had two rookies out there today who had never driven a Grand Prix in the wet. That has got to be playing a part. Behrmann, Colapinto had never gone full Grand Prix distance in the wet. You've got to be considering that they might be the cause of a safety car or a red flag. And the rain was so heavy at that point, you've got to be in survival mode rather than thinking about strategy at that moment. Russell wanted to stay out. Norris wanted to come in way before that. And in the end, they pitted at the same time. That was a call as well from the team, wasn't it, to run that high downforce rear wing on the McLaren.
Sure, but Jakesy, let's not forget, Lando's the guy behind in the World Championship.
Yeah.
You can't be the conservative guy if you're going to try and overhaul a massive points gap.
You're almost damned if you do and damned if you don't, though, because when you're in the lead of the race, it's almost better to be in P6 at that point, where you've got a fighting chance at the front rather than coming across the conditions first. So I can see how they got into the difficulty, but that was a moment to survive in the conditions, because it was inevitable with that much rainfall coming down that someone was going to stick it in the wall.
Sao Paulo, tell me if I'm wrong, is known in Portuguese as the city of showers. Is that right?
It's always been like that. I'm not really sure if that's a translation. But on the start, I went to the Senaes outside here to have a look on the start. And I looked at the clouds. I said, let's go inside because it's going to pour down the rain. People said, no, I don't think so. When you see the weather coming on that side from the lake, it's going to come down. So here is like that.
Ricardo, you've done, I'm assuming, thousands of laps around Interlagos. You know where the rivers are. Do you sympathize with McLaren and Mercedes making that call to pit after the virtual safety car when Hülkenberg went off? Or do you think they should have rolled the dice and stayed out like the other leaders?
Yeah, it's a close call, I think. I don't know if you remember, I had my crash here in 96 in the same kind of conditions. Was very wet. We were on wet. I was following Irvine just a little bit further down where Colapinto crashed. The car just aquaplaned and went to the wall. Here is very slippery. It's high speed, so you have a lot of turns with you put a lot of traction, changing gears and high speed corners. So in wet, it's quite slippery. A little bit of white line, you're off. So it was a close call for them, I think. They were playing safe because they were leading the race and they didn't want to make a mistake. I think on their mind, Max was taking a lot of risk going up to the grid. So they playing safe would mean that maybe they were expecting Max to crash into someone because it was hard to overtake. So perhaps it was a close call. And they were unlucky because as soon as they pit, there was the red flag. So that didn't help. I mean, you have to have the luck.
I feel that there are plenty of days where you can fairly aim some criticism at how McLaren have operated at points this year. Both of their drivers have become Grand Prix winners. They've become used to running at the front, and there have been some tough days as they learn to run at the front again. I don't think today is one of those tough days. I think that's just the nature of racing in the rain around Sao Paulo. It was incredibly difficult. They were stuck in a corner by being at the front.
And there's now 86 points still on the table, and the gap between Norris and Verstappen is 62. So it's not over, although Max can technically win it next time out in Las Vegas. But I would imagine Lando will be casting quite a long shadow on his flight home to Europe tonight.
It stings. This is elite sport. this matters an enormous amount. You put your heart and soul into it, decades in the making to even get to Formula One. You get there, you get this strange chance where most people get their breakthrough win in one season and their first championship shot in another. Max Verstappen, for example, 10 Grand Prix wins before going into 2021. Lando wins in Miami, suddenly learning at warp speed, suddenly every mistake is amplified. It will hurt today. I think he'll get to the end of the year and be proud of his efforts and be doubly determined for 2025. But Max today showed how high the mountain is to knock him off the top spot.
You're absolutely right. And what an emotional roller coaster the drive, well, Lando has been through today, because when we all got in at whatever godforsaken hour it was this morning and qualifying took place at 7:30 local time, you know, Lando, okay, he scraped through Q1, but then he absolutely blitzed qualifying. His main rival was back in 17th. He must have been eating his, he said he had a Nutella sandwich for breakfast, but whatever he had for lunch, he must have had with a smile on his face. He must have thought, this is my moment. And then here we are 3 hours later and the whole thing's turned on its head.
I mean, that's the racing on these conditions. I thought after the qualifying that he had a big chance to close the gap. But as soon as the race started and the way Max was driving, was clear that he was going to go through the grid and perhaps get a podium finish. But Max is in a level of confidence and technically, and Lando is an excellent driver, but he's not there yet. I mean, he's fighting with the best. And I think he knows that. He said that in some interviews. And that's where he has to catch up. Max in a different level.
But do you know what, Ricardo? I actually think in terms of raw pace, he is there. I think he is there. I think he has stepped
he's
up
fast.
This year.
No doubt.
But I think what he hasn't got is the network behind it. You know, Red Bull are just such a dynamic and fast-thinking race team. And McLaren are still learning. Jake, he was talking about them having to learn at warp speed this year because look where they're at. They had the fourth fastest car at the start of the season.
Yeah.
So I think Lando now needs to wait for the team to almost catch up.
I think there's improvement that can come on the driving side as well. I think it will be incredibly useful for him to go through a championship campaign. He's sat exam questions this year that he's never faced before. He's up against one of the very best of all time in Max Verstappen. And look, the rules are static for 2025. There's no reason why he shouldn't be in the hunt once again. But today will sting. To go back to where you started this topic, today will sting, because even though it's mathematically still possible, there are days that define the title, and this was one of them.
Look, today will sting for another team as well, and that's Ferrari. Two wins on the bounce, and I think we came here, and a lot of people, myself included, thought that they would be right up there going for the win this weekend, but they were never there, dry or wet.
No. Different type of circuit, different type of circumstance, and yeah, as soon as it went to the wet, they didn't seem to have any feel at all. Good consistency again from Charles Leclerc. He consistently turns in performances where he finds himself in the top five. He's been doing that all year long, but they were not in the battle at any stage.
Yeah, so it's back to the drawing board for Ferrari. I actually think they're going to be really quick next time out in Vegas. The slow corners, they've got that oomph getting out of the slow corners, and they'll put the smaller rear wing on it. But yeah, this has been a frustrating one, and a frustrating one for Carlos Sainz as well, actually. You know, look where he was 7 days ago and look where he's been this weekend, and he hasn't had the pace of Charles Leclerc, and then of course he ends his race in the barrier as well. So it's a very humbling sport, this one. It'll build you up and it'll knock you down the next moment. This is an advertisement from BetterHelp. This month, take a moment to practice gratitude. There are so many people to thank in our lives, the friends who make us laugh, the family who support us. But there's someone we often forget to appreciate, ourselves. Think about it. Every day we're showing up, doing our best to make sense of the world, to grow and to find peace in the chaos. And that deserves a little self-recognition. So today, give yourself some credit too. And therapy can be a huge part of that journey, providing tools that help us navigate life with a little more confidence and resilience. It's not just for tough times, it's for anyone who wants to feel more empowered and build a life that they're proud of. So as we celebrate gratitude this month, remember to thank the people around you. And don't forget to give yourself some love too. You're doing better than you think. With over 5,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/F1Nation. That's betterhelp.com/F1Nation.
Punching the air with delight is Esteban Ocon, who takes his fourth career podium. Yeah. And he will be joined by his teammate for his fifth career podium.
Historical. That's historical. Incredible. Very good job, guys.
And for the first time in 11 years, Team Enstone have both cars on the podium.
Now, what about Alpine? They pulled off a strategic masterclass and took full advantage of the conditions to secure their best result of the season with a double podium, and they climb from 9th to 6th in the Constructors' Championship. That is worth more than a few, Bob. That's many millions of dollars. Esteban Ocon finishing P2 ahead of Pierre Gasly P3, and before Sao Paulo, they'd not finished inside the top 8 in a Grand Prix all season. Let's hear what that result means to the French duo, starting with Esteban.
It's been an incredible day. You know, who would have thought, first of all, that we were going to qualify 4th where we qualified? It feels extremely great and even greater now because, you know, we've had difficult couple of races lately where, you know, things doesn't really work the way we want for us. But it clearly shows, you know, that we still got it, you know, when it's not all about the car and it's also about driving. Extremely happy and proud, you know, of me and Pierre, to be honest. You know, we've had our stories at time, but it's been incredible to do that last formation lap. A lot of flashback, you know, came back to my memories when we were racing on the wet in go-kart when we were young, you know, even on the snow, you know, with a slick tire. We were both, you know, racing together and waiting for the podium or the win, you know, to come. And today, yeah, it tastes a bit like that, so... Yeah, a beautiful story from where we come from, and that one will for sure forever stay engraved.
Esteban, very well done. Thank you for that. Thank you. Pierre, let's come to you now. You were nodding at the end there. Did you get those same flashbacks on the slowdown lap?
Of course. I don't think anyone can understand. You know, it's a very personal relationship between Esteban and myself, but we've been going through so much. And, you know, as he mentioned, all these times we've had, like, over winter going, you know, with -5 degrees outside, we're the only one showing up at the go-kart track, going out in the rain, in the snow, slick tires, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old. And we've really, like, practiced these conditions. And on a day like today, I can tell you this actually made the difference, all that practice. I remember us getting back in the truck trying to get warm after a few laps because we were absolutely freezing. And it's just, we've had our ups and downs, but as you said, like this 2 years chapter as teammates, I think we can be very proud of the way we've pushed the team forward. It's been tough, obviously, this season, but we've always tried to push the team in the right direction to never give up. And on a day like today, even the cars misbehave for the majority of the season. Everyone tried to put their A game, and it was just an historical day for the team. So very proud to for everyone working in the team to achieve such a performance.
Now, Esteban, very keen to tell us that rain is a great leveler for the drivers. Very keen to say that.
Exactly. I mean, I was... so happy to see them on the podium. I was actually hoping that they could make it because, I mean, I've been in some situations like that. And when it rains, especially here in Interlagos, when it rains, there is your chance. It levels up, and I think Ocon does really well, and Gasly in the wet. So they drove a brilliant race as well. I mean, what a race, and the conditions were really bad. I think it was a very good call. A risky call not to call them, but it paid off. that's what they have to do. I mean, they have to take a risk to manage to get those opportunities.
This is a team in transition. Let's not forget, just after the summer break, Olly Oakes came in as team principal. Their third team principal in just 18 months. And then they've made this massive call not to continue with the Alpine Power Unit program. And there's going to be an announcement in the next 2 weeks about what they're going to do going forward from 2026. So I think for them to pull off a double podium and vault up the Constructors' Championship standings is a huge result. And it closes the chapter as well for Ocon and Gasly. I was quite struck with how matey they were afterwards.
Everyone's happy when they're dancing on the podium, aren't they? It could be a different story. And it has been a different story in previous years for both of them. It's a great story to see two lads from northern France, grew up in close proximity, have been on the same racetracks for so many times. It's a nice little chapter, as you say, to close things out. One driver leaving the team to pastures new, the other one favoured and kept on, and they needed it. They took their chance brilliantly. It would have been very, very easy to fumble that, and a massive word for Esteban on his first safety car restart. The lap, he got so unlucky there was another one straight after because he left Max Verstappen behind. And yes, looking at the race pace, when Max had settled into a rhythm, he would have brought the noise again.
Well,
he would
hang
have
on, Jakesy.
But it was very, very good on that first restart.
Jakesy, I'm going to pull you up on that because I think until Carlos Sainz hit the barrier, Ocon was extending his advantage at the front.
Yeah.
I think this was a Grand Prix he might have won had it not been.
Even when the gap was so big at the end, when Max was setting, what was it, 17 fastest laps?
Five fastest laps in a row.
Yeah.
But was it something to do with the tyre temperature at that stage
clear,
of the race?
Clear air in but I thought he took his chance wonderfully there, and then Verstappen had looked at his homework, hadn't he? He'd seen when he'd gone on the restart the first time, and he made no mistake on the second one. But that was courageous stuff at the front, and that's the longest he's led in a Grand Prix for a very, very long time. I think the last time he led that many laps, he won it. His only win back in Hungary.
In Hungary,
those,
2021.
Years ago. So excellent stuff from Esteban, and great that Pierre was able to get up there. As you say, to not put a car in the top eight all year, and then to know this is it. This is not going to come around again. We are going to finish P9. This is the worst car that we've produced for years. It's been a turbulent year. After loads of turbulent years, the team executed that wonderfully.
Yeah, and so a best of P9 for both drivers earlier this year, and suddenly they're up at the front, and neither of them made a mistake in a Grand Prix where lots of drivers made a mistake. You know, Gasly had Russell very large in his mirrors for lap after lap at the end and didn't put a foot wrong. And really, it's like he's been on the practice courts all year, and suddenly he's in a Wimbledon final, and actually he keeps it together. He keeps his head. So I was really impressed by both of them. And, you know, I think Haas are probably thinking, wow, thank goodness we've gone with Esteban Ocon. And I also think Alpine are saying, great, Pierre Gasly's proven again today that he is a team leader, and he'll be a great sounding board for Jack Doohan when he comes on board here at Alpine next year. Coming towards me now is the man with the Midas touch. Olly Oakes has been team principal of Alpine for, what is it now, Olly, a couple of months?
Yeah, we were and, counting actually, yeah, 16 or 15 weeks.
But, I mean, what a result.
Yeah. I mean, I can't take credit though. I mean, as we know, it's a brilliant team and I haven't been here that long. So.
But Olly, what does this mean for Alpine? Because it's been a really difficult year. I feel it's a team in transition. You've come in, but there have been lots of other changes as well, and suddenly two on the podium.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I said since I arrived that the team had been in a difficult period for a little while. You know, they had a tough start to the season, but even before that, and, you know, I think today's a big result for them. But I think it actually, you know, the signs were there already just before the shutdown and just after, with sort of a little bit of momentum. I mean, Zandvoort, you know, my first race, they made me look good getting a point there. Then we had a tricky couple of races, which sort of showed the true picture of some of our limitations in the team with the car and our performance. And I think Austin, with an upgrade, showed we got a bit of pace there. And then that was a bit of a hard one because we left sort of empty-handed after a good qualifying. But actually, you know, these last couple of events, it's been really nice to show we have got some pace. And I think today, it's a big result. You know, we were all a little bit wounded after Baku. when a competitor got, you know, quite a few points, and a credit to them and the job they're doing. But it's nice today to have our own sort of strong result as well.
Now, a good car in the wet is invariably a very well-balanced car. So does this give you hope going into the last three races that even in the dry you might be able to pull a result?
Yeah, I mean, I think qualifying in Austin was strong. We struggled a little bit in the race. I think Mexico was a good weekend in the points. And I think here, you know, in the sprint race in the dry with Pierre, we had some pace. I think in qualifying there, we were very close to the back of the Mercedes and at the front of that midfield battle. So definitely we feel confident. I sort of pause there because it is tough. And, you know, you can see weekend to weekend the swings in performance and teams. And I think really we just have to be humble and take it one race at a time. But yeah, I do feel confident, and more just the way the team's working. And, you know, since I arrived, everyone was so motivated, and this team does get a bit of its fair share of stick, people, you know, putting the knife in on a podcast and all that sort of stuff, but they are really pushing really hard. You can see that at Enstone and Virion here on track, and, you know, they deserve it.
And was there a moment in the race today where you thought he's going to win it? When he was pulling away from Max Verstappen?
I was slightly disappointed when Max breezed past. I'm not going to lie. Obviously, people will say, oh, you know, you need a reality check. But obviously, you do this job because you want to win. You don't turn up because you don't want to. And I joked with Sam that nobody likes walking to the back of the grid. And obviously, you know, these past few weekends, we're moving forward. But I think in the race today, there were moments where I thought, okay, we can do this. But you have to also say Max is phenomenal. I mean, in those conditions, he is another level. And I think today, nobody can take away from him. That was a championship drive. But on my side, I'm really proud of Pierre and Esteban. They didn't put a foot wrong. They both soaked up so much pressure. And actually, they had real pace. It was only Max who had the legs on us. So, yeah, strong day.
Ollie, brilliant job. Yeah. Very well done. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
Fred Vasseur just walking past us, coming to say congratulations to his French colleagues at Alpine. Actually, there's a real friendly vibe in this pit lane at the minute. Did you notice that Zak Brown was trying to get in on the Ferrari team photo last week? And now Fred's down here congratulating everyone at Alpine. There is a good vibe. Quite different, actually, to 25 years ago, Ricardo, when you were at Arrows and Tyrrell.
Yeah, for sure. I think the sport is a lot different than it was when I was here. I think the level also, it catched up between the guys on the back of the grid and the front of the grid. I mean, you see today, in 1 second, you have like 14 cars sometimes, maybe more. And my time was like 1.5 seconds was the difference between the first one and the second one. So the grid, it's more close, and I think it's a different mind. I feel that not only between the teams, but all the people, the way they treat you, it's lighter. It's good to see, actually. I think the sport, F1 has grown a long way since then.
Well, it's certainly grown, and I agree with you, actually. Having been around in the 90s with you, I feel the vibe is so much lighter now and so much more accessible as well. So what about this titanic Constructors' Championship battle between VCARB and Haas? Let's start with Haas. Kevin Magnussen arrives in Brazil from Mexico with food poisoning. Ollie Bearman gets the wake-up call from his team principal, Ayo Komatsu, at 6:30. 6:30 on Friday morning, and does a tremendous job on Friday, no doubt about that. But then Ollie is then thrown into the chaos of the rest of the weekend and the rain that Sao Paulo threw at this Grand Prix weekend. And I don't think it was a coincidence that it was the two rookies, him and Franco Colapinto, who were doing the most pirouettes in that Grand Prix. I think it just proved how difficult these cars are. And it was a difficult Grand Prix for Haas, absolutely no doubt about it. With, you know, let's look at the grid. Bearman started 15th and Hülkenberg 18th. Hülkenberg then gets black flagged in the Grand Prix, and Bearman, after a few 360s, ends up 12th. So that was disappointing. And given their pace on Friday, I think they were thinking coming into this, they were in for a good weekend.
And I think they would have had a good weekend if it stayed dry. But yeah, this is Sao Paulo. That's how it works. Also, black flag. Never get a black flag at a Grand Prix anymore. Disqualification for assistance from the marshals. He got pushed off the old banking at turn number one. Very unusual to get a driver showing the black flag in the race. If it had stayed dry, they would have had a completely different weekend. Oliver Behrmann showing why they've signed him for 2025 in the dry. I felt for him because it was one of those where he was off and then he was off again. Then he was back racing Lewis Hamilton. Then he was off again. It's just the mental tiredness. You hear it from all the drivers in a wet race. In a wet race like this, just exhausting.
So what about VCarb? I mean, what a grid. Yuki Tsunoda, P3. Liam Lawson, P5, both of them fighting with each other about, you know, who's trying to impress the boss the most. Yeah. What did you make of Yuki Tsunoda's performance, first of all?
I think he did really well. Actually, I saw him just before the second start, and I wish him luck, and he was relaxed. I think he did a very good job. I mean, it's hard to keep up with the car they have, but I was most impressed with all these young comers. Behrmann and Colapinto, Lawson, all these new guys coming to a car that doesn't seem to be that easy to drive and in difficult conditions. And like Behrmann, okay, he made some mistakes, but everyone made mistakes on the race. But I mean, he was ahead of Hülkenberg, which is a very good driver.
Who's very good here as well. Let's think back to his pole position back in 2010 and lots and lots of good performances from Hülkenberg here.
And he made a mistake as well on the white line. So I'm really happy to see these new guys coming in with a fire and performing, which is against the most experienced drivers. So it's been really good to see.
And what about Liam Lawson? He was asked by Christian Horner to cool your jets a little bit after the Mexican Grand Prix last weekend. And no, I think those jets are still pretty hot, aren't they? Particularly when it comes to racing Sergio Perez on track.
Yeah, they're not going to be on each other's Christmas card lists, are they? Another wheel banging incident. Liam's waited for this opportunity and he's been stuck in the garage for a really long time. I think his expectation at the start of the year is that he was going to be in that car far sooner than he got his chance, and I'm not surprised he's racing aggressively. Was a great qualifying performance from the V-Cubs. I think if Yuki had got a better exit out of turn 12, he would have been on the front row. He was an extraordinary lap and he missed out there, but great performance when it mattered, aggressive moves as well, but good response from the team, you have to say, after falling behind Haas last time. Shoulders haven't gone down, they've been competitive again. They've just been usurped by this extraordinary result for Alpine, but both drivers are pushing each other to a higher level there.
And they've closed the gap to Haas to just 2 points now in the Constructors' Championship, so that's very much game on still for VCarb in that battle with Haas. Just a couple more things, guys. Mercedes, what a yo-yo weekend that's been for them. You know, the car in the hands of one driver, Lewis Hamilton, has looked pretty undrivable, yet George Russell's managed to get a tune out of it. Okay, he finished the race fourth, but I think without pitting when he didn't want to pit, if he'd pitted under the red flag conditions like everyone else around him, he would have been on the podium today. And I don't know what to say about the performance of that car. I just don't know.
It's a very strange one. They don't have a full understanding of it. It's been the case for the triple header. The updates look great. Then they put them on the car, and there's a gap of correlation, which is such a big thing if you're going to be right at the very front. You think about how many great updates that McLaren have brought this year, and they've worked immediately when they've bolted them on the car. Ferrari understanding that they didn't need to bring any upgrades to this triple header, and it worked for them in Austin, and it worked for them in Mexico City. Mercedes searching for answers. George Russell looking really strong when it mattered. Couldn't get past an Alpine. You would have put all the money on George Russell finding a way by after all those laps. Pierre Gasly drove wonderfully, but it feels like a team ready to turn the page, ready for a new era. It's been an incredible era, a Formula One era unlike anything that we've seen, but it feels like Lewis needs the new challenge and Mercedes need to move to the next stage, because he was really unhappy, Lewis Hamilton, on the radio time and time again, complaining about the ride of the car, complaining about the bumps. And I think he'll be looking forward to going to Ferrari, and I think Mercedes will be looking forward to getting to 2025.
There's no doubt that the happiest we saw Lewis Hamilton was between qualifying and the race today, Sunday, when he got to drive Ayrton Senna's 1990 McLaren MP4-6. The actual chassis that crashed into Alain Prost at Suzuka that
year. Oh, wow. Yeah. Heritage.
Yeah, real heritage. It's got Ayrton's original seat in it, Ayrton's original steering wheel. It's the original gearbox, the original engine. And Lewis looked really moved when he was driving that car. And just to listen to the crowd cheering him, Ricardo.
Yeah, I mean, when I arrived to the track, I think it was Friday, I saw the car, I went there, I had a chat with the guys, and they told me all those stories. Just to get close to the car, I took a picture, I was like shaking, because I remember, I watched Ayrton racing here with this car. That was like he was a hero, and I remember him racing with the car and seeing the car up close and his seats and all the story. I guess it's emotional for any driver. I would imagine a Brazilian driver driving this car here as well would have been nice to see it.
Okay. You just throwing your hat into the ring for next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy to do it, as all the Brazilian drivers would love to do it. But I think, Lewis, it's a lifetime experience to have the chance to drive that car.
And he loved it so much. He said he wished he could be racing it in the Grand Prix. I was really struck by how small it is.
It's like a
compared to the current cars.
Small, low, beautiful piece of art. It was so good to hear that going around the circuit, and to just all you could hear, glorious engine. And the crowd loving what they were seeing.
And he was quite sweet with the gear change as well, because of course it's a manual gearbox, an H. Hewland gearbox, which I don't think Lewis has probably ever raced. And I was fascinated to listen to him as he was coming into the braking zone for turn one. Just how was his heel and toeing? Yep, it was spot on. And I wouldn't expect anything else from Lewis Hamilton, but still, it was.
It is nice to see on the wet, because Ayrton was a master on the wet, and see the spray, and it was amazing to see, and what a gift for the crowd to see this car going around again. And I was so lucky to get close to the car and see it. Amazing.
So that was the happiest we saw Lewis Hamilton. I don't think he gets excited about finishing P10 in a Grand Prix, particularly here at Interlagos, where he's had so many fantastic days. Now, final one, Williams. What an unfortunate day for Williams. I mean, the mechanics just... they pulled up trees after qualifying to try and get Alex Albon on the grid and after his accident. And of course, they didn't manage to do that, but they did manage to get Franco Colapinto on the grid to start in P16. And then, of course, Franco has that accident. Actually, when the safety car was out, he was just catching up the safety car, and more accident damage, and they've slipped back in the Constructors' Championship. No points, two damaged cars, cost cap situation. They've now dropped to ninth in the Constructors' Championship. It couldn't have been a worse ending to this triple header for Williams.
No, couldn't have been more expensive either. Three crashes in a day. Alex Albon with no prospect came out of qualifying and saying, I'm not going to take the start. That's too big a crash. And the disappointment is that I think for Alex, I think it was too difficult for Franco to learn how to manipulate that car in the rain today. But Alex's first run in qualifying was outstanding. P2, before he dropped it into the wall. He could have had what Pierre and Esteban have had today. That was on the table for them.
So many F1 drivers can say, so close, yet so far. And that was definitely the case for Alex Albon. But I did think we saw Alex doing what he does best up until the accident, in that I thought he was driving with confidence, and I thought he was driving with the speed that we've seen from him at other points in his career, and even at Williams when he had Logan Sargeant, because some people were saying, oh my goodness, the pressure from Franco Colapinto, is it getting to him? And I thought he answered his critics emphatically with his speed around Interlagos. As for Franco Colapinto, there has been so much hype this weekend. Half of the crowd, as far as I can make out, Ricardo, has come from Argentina.
Yeah, we could hear a lot of Argentinians. And I think Colapinto was just very unfortunate, because the car snapped in a way that, I mean, it could have happened to anyone. It's a shame, because he drove very well. And I mean, not having driven a Formula 1 in a wet, and come to Interlagos, which is a very tricky circuits in wet because it's very fast. You're doing fast turns, changing gears and accelerating. It can go anywhere, anytime. So we saw Hamilton going off, Alonso going off. I mean, it can happen. I mean, it's a shame because I think they had a good chance to do well if they carry on the black stuff, but it happens.
Well, and the hype around this guy just has gone up a level this weekend because he's been linked to not just Red Bull, but Red Bull Racing now. And for a young guy in only his sixth Grand Prix, it must be very hard to keep focused on the job in hand. And, you know, everywhere you go, there's people in the paddock wanting to stop you. Christian Horner's coming down to see you in the hospitality area. And I don't know, I feel this is a hard moment for him. And he's now got 3 weeks to just reset and come back in Vegas and do what he does so well.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. I completely agree that the reset is going to be really important for him. Get a bit of downtime, clear your head, look at your options. The fact he's got options in Formula One is a testament to what he's done. Today was a really, really difficult task for him. Formula One in the wet, Sao Paulo, as you said, it was always going to be tricky. Not his finest moment in his career, but he's got a chance. I think Red Bull would be too soon.
Oh, come on, way too soon, surely.
So don't do that to him. Don't rush a driver into
It's not just Red Bull. Yeah. It's Red Bull alongside Max Verstappen.
No one fancies that. Realistically, it's that seat has been taking great drivers, making them look ordinary, and then they recover their career and they look great again. Who's on the podium today? Pierre Gasly, showing exactly that. So I think it would be a good option to keep him on the grid. I love the support he is getting. Whether he finishes in the points, they're outside the pit wall cheering for him after the race. Whether he's finishing the barrier, they're outside the pit wall cheering for him after the race.
Of course, we're only a 3-hour flight from Buenos Aires here, so this was as close as he's going to get to a home Grand Prix. So the top 10 looked like this. Verstappen took win number 62 of his Formula One career and his third in Brazil. Then came the Alpine pair in second and third, Ocon ahead of Gasly. Russell was fourth ahead of Leclerc in fifth and pole sitter Norris in sixth. Tsunoda slipped from P3 at the start to P7 at the flag ahead of Piastri in eighth, and Lawson made it a double points finish for VCarb in ninth. Rounding out the top 10 was Hamilton in the second Mercedes. In the Drivers' Championship, the top 10's as follows. Max Verstappen extends his lead over Lando Norris at the top of the table to 62 points. Charles Leclerc is third, 24 points behind Norris, with Piastri in fourth in the second McLaren. Sainz's DNF in Brazil leaves him fifth on 244 points, ahead of Russell in sixth, Hamilton seventh, Perez eighth, Alonso ninth, and Hülkenberg in tenth. In the Constructors' Championship, it's still very tight at the top. McLaren lead Ferrari by just 36 points, with Red Bull 13 points further back in third. Mercedes are fourth, 162 points behind Red Bull, and 296 points ahead of Aston Martin in fifth. Alpine's double podium has leapfrogged them up the order to sixth on 49 points, with Haas seventh on 46 points, VCarb eighth on 44 points, and Williams ninth on 17. Sauber remain 10th on zero. Well, guys, it's been lovely to have you both on the show. Ricardo, you won't be aware of this, but we end the show with our driver of the day. Max Verstappen won it on the telly. Who's going to start?
How can you pick anyone other than the driver that won from 17th on the grid? I know it's a really dull thing to say, but that is going to be, and you said it perfectly, that is going to be mentioned alongside great drives of Senna and Schumacher. That is a drive that's heading into the Formula One Hall of Fame, 17th on the grid to the win. That is ludicrously good. It's taken him effectively to the brink of the title, 4 titles in a row. What a way to respond.
If he wins the title, when we think of 2024, I think we will think of Sao Paulo as the pivotal moment, if you like.
But to give you someone else as well, I'm so pleased to see Yuki Tsunoda. Under real pressure in recent times. Dreadful time of it, crashing out in quali in the race 7 days ago. Came back, best ever qualifying performance, P3 on the grid, got points for his team. Pleased to see him still fighting for a chance.
Ricardo?
Well, there's no way Max won't get this driver of the day. I mean, it's one of the greatest drives we've ever seen in, like, those Senna, Schumacher. I think it's a great drive, and especially because it was not just wet. It was pouring down and was so hard. And he did a masterclass drive. For us, driver, was great to see someone master the technique of driving in such a condition and have the read of the race as well, because he did everything perfectly. So for sure he's the driver of the day, but I'm so happy to see both Alpine drivers on the podium. I think they deserve it. They are fighting like crazy. Ocon did a brilliant job. I think he managed to be ahead, and unfortunately he had the second safety car, but apart from Max, I think both Alpine deserve also a great driver today.
I'm going to have to just mention Max. He's got that sixth sense for grip, hasn't he? He seems to find it where others don't. And the Red Bull is not a much better car than everyone else's car this year. At best, it's equal to some of the other cars at the front. And yet Max made everyone else look ordinary. And that is the mark of a great driver. I agree with you about Alpine. I actually think I'm going to mention in dispatches George Russell, because I do think that Mercedes has been a handful all weekend. And George, yet again, I'll say it again, the most underrated driver in Formula One, George Russell, has made Lewis Hamilton look ordinary. And you don't do that unless you're really, really, really good. Yeah. So well done to George. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Jakesy, what time are you out of bed this morning? And are you going to go out to a churrascaria tonight, or are you flying home? What's the plan?
I'm flying home. I woke up before my alarm. My alarm was set for 4. I woke up at 3:20. It's been a delirious day, but it was a super Sunday in every sense of the word. It was just amazing to watch Formula One on this day, on this track.
Yeah, I agree.
And Ricardo, what's next for you? Are we going to see you in Vegas in 3 weeks' time?
No, this year I'm not going to Vegas. I went last year, was great. But this year I will watch from home. Hopefully next year I want to join more races, and hopefully I manage to do it.
Yeah, well, it's been brilliant to see you again.
Thank you very much.
It's been a while.
Good to see you too.
Now, for more reaction and analysis from Sao Paulo, go to F1.com, the official F1 app, or follow at F1 on social media. And you can also watch highlights on F1 TV in selected countries. And a quick shout out to F1's other podcasts. This week's guest on F1 Beyond the Grid is Brazil's Christian Fittipaldi, former F1 driver and nephew of two-time world champion Emerson. That's available on your podcast app and the F1 YouTube channel from Wednesday. And the latest episode of F1 Explains comes from the F1 Arcade Mexico City GP Watch Party in Washington, D.C. So do check that out now as well. Well, it's been a quite brilliant weekend here in Sao Paulo. We saw a phenomenal victory from Max Verstappen, but so many good performances up and down the grid. It's been a privilege to be here at all of these races in the triple header. We now have 2 weekends off before the final triple header of the season. Thanks very much for listening. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.